Well, this evening we continue our theme from our communion. We're looking at Romans chapter 6, and I've read this passage from Corinthians because it ties in so closely with what we're thinking in Romans chapter 6, especially from verses 12 to 14. Here we have in these verses Paul going on to state how we should live. We sometimes say that actions speak louder than words. For example, you may have noted such an example. A child may receive a gift and they may mumble a thank you and then leave the gift aside. Don't bother with it. They don't look at it. It's never played with. It's unappreciated. That doesn't really show a heart of thankfulness. However, in a different situation, maybe a different gift, the child comes and with a great boost says, thank you. Not just because they're reminded by their parents, but because they see what it is and they delight in it. And they take it away and they use whatever the gift was, they put it into action. And it is obvious, even they hadn't said thank you, it is obvious that they had appreciated what was given. Their actions show their joy of receiving that gift. This evening we come to a thanksgiving for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, which we're reminded about in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper this morning. We come with thankful hearts, for Jesus gave himself to the cross for us. Will it show tomorrow? That's really the question. Will it show tomorrow that we have delighted to be with Christ? And Romans chapter 6, verses 12 to 14, I hope will help us to think through how we are to show by our actions how much we appreciate all that it means to know Jesus Christ as Lord and to have the sacrifice that he has made for ourselves. Remember, in this section we've noted answering that question that if grace increases when sin increases, why not go on sinning? And he's continuing really to answer that even in these verses, giving us further reason to note that in fact that will be absolutely unthinkable. As he says in verse 1 of this section, or verse 2 rather, God forbid, by no means can we do this. We are dead to sin. And as we noted earlier today, Paul has said in verse 11 that we are to count ourselves dead to sin, but alive to Christ. Sin doesn't have power over us, but we are alive to God. Now in these verses, I want to point out that first of all, that Paul sets before us in verse 12, what I'm calling a principle, and then he looks at it both from the negative and the positive sides, how this might be brought to bear. And then he concludes in verse 14, showing us the help that we will have. For while we know the truth of this, we all will battle. And it's interesting that in the next chapter, chapter 7, Paul comes to the battle with sin that even he feels. So first of all, I want to think about the principle that is laid down here, and he does so in verse 12. Look what he says. Therefore, he says, or as a consequence of the fact that you are dead to sin, do not let sin in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. That's what Paul is saying to you. You are dead to sin. So here's the thing. Have this as part of your thinking. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Sin can so often raise its head, and it's often through the flesh. It is the lust of the flesh. It is the eye that looks upon something to desire it and inflames inner emotions. And we find Satan tempting us. And we're to have this built in our minds. Sin doesn't reign. We are to say no to sin. We are not to obey its evil desires because it is not Lord. We've already noted that we are not under sin, but we're under Christ now because our old self was crucified with him. So we see things by our eyes and often tempted, or we listen to things and then our minds are twisted into sinful thoughts. And Paul is stating out clearly to us that the principle is sin should not be the reigning authority. You should, in those times, call upon your Savior that he might not allow sin mastery over you by his help. Here is a principle. There are those, you see, sadly, those even in our world who would profess to be followers of Christ, and they'll say, well, the flesh, the body is separate from the soul, and so it doesn't really matter what we do in the flesh. Paul would say, absolutely not. Here are things we need to take note of. That we are to not allow sin to reign, even over our mortal bodies. It's good to note, too, that as we think about this, we need all the help from God we can get. Because there are things which are legitimate, there are things which are good, but there is a point when we give ourselves to them too much and they become evil. We can desire to do our work to earn our living and do it as unto the Lord. But then there comes a point when work eats up all of us, when we're simply wanting to amass a greater prestige, more money. And sin has crept in, the sin perhaps of pride or of lust for the world's goods. And what would have been a proper and good thing in our working has become divisive and sinful. And it should not be ruling us, but rather Christ should be Lord in that situation. When we have the desire for money and it gets beyond what is appropriate, then evil can so easily enter. And how you and I need the Holy Spirit to help us to know if we're stepping outside the boundaries, if we're chasing after this world too much. You and I need God's direction and God's guidance. Here is a principle we're to lay in store. We are not to let sin reign. Our bodies may present us with difficulties, our lusts arise, but the Lord is the one who is to be in control. He is to reign over us. And so Paul says before us, we're to have, as already said, we're to be done with sin. Sin is dead. And it's natural for him to set it out in this negative way because remember he's answering that thought, sin, so that grace will increase. He said, not at all. Don't let sin reign in you. Come back to your Lord and to your Savior. If you and I are thankful, as we ought to be, for the blood of Christ, we will seek at every opportunity to make sure that we are not under the reign of sin, but that rather we are doing good. We don't want to obey evil desires. We need the help of the Spirit to know sometimes when desires have become evil. But then we're led by Paul on to think, secondly, about the negative instruction that he gives. And here he fleshes this out even further. He says in verse 13, do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness. What are the parts of your body? Our eyes, our hands, our ears. We are not to give our parts of our body to do what is unrighteous or to be instruments of wickedness. If we do, we are allowing sin to master us. The person who doesn't control their hands, if they're in the shop and picking things off the shelf and pocketing them and stealing, then they're letting their parts of their body be an instrument for wickedness. If our eyes keep leading us into temptation, looking at things that we ought not to look at, we have given our eyes over to be instruments of wickedness. And we should not do that if sin is not to reign. In fact, when we do that, we're allowing sin and Satan through sin to reign over us. There is that school of thought that divides the body and the soul, but the body is to be uncontrolled by the power of God. This is what we're to make sure we do not do. Give ourselves wrongly to acts of wickedness. There are plenty of examples of people who have made a mess of life because they have allowed the members of their bodies to lead them into wicked ways. It means practically that we must take steps to avert our feet, our hands, our eyes, or whatever part of our body from doing wrong. If we are led into sin by going to a certain place, our feet need to be taught not to go there. If our eye is offending us, then we must use and make sure that we do not look in that direction. We need to pray for the Spirit of God to change our sight and our view. If our hands are raised to hit someone, well, we need to be careful and we need to pray for God's restraining grace to put them down, rather to bless than to hurt. If we appreciate what Christ has done and the joy of knowing sin forgiven, we will not want to use our bodies for acts of wickedness, but rather to bring glory to Him. And we can apply this to every part of the body. We are not to let the enemy lead us into sin. Just think about the instruction of the Lord Jesus Himself. He's quite radical. We need to be prepared to put sin by. And that is strong language. Jesus used strong language. What did He say? If your eye offends you, pluck it out. If your hands cause you offense, cut them off. We are to take the measures that are strong and radical. If there are thoughts that plague us, we must pray earnestly that we will cut them off and that the source of the thought will be removed so that we do not give the parts of our body to acts of wickedness. And that's the only way we can fulfill the injunction, is to cry out daily to God for guidance and strength and for help. I wonder, do we realize how often we do wickedly? Do we see that sometimes we are not drastic enough in the measures we take? We know we've failed, but we do not really cut off the sin. We take a step backward, but we don't go in a different direction. And we end up in the sin anyway. The Lord says, don't give yourselves, don't give your body, don't give anything over to these actions. Because you are not to be ruled. Sin is not to reign in you. But then the second and more positive aspect, and of course, where we leave a gap, if we don't do something, we need to be more positive. And we are to give our bodies to become instruments of righteousness. Look what he says in the second half of verse 13. The whole verse, do not offer the parts of your body as sin's instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. So rather than be doers of things that are contrary to the ways of God, you're to offer yourselves to God. And as we sat around the Lord's table today earlier, we thought about that, how we are to offer ourselves to God. And that means doing his will in our work, in our leisure, in our homes, in our church, giving ourselves to him, to let our hands and our feet serve him. And that's what Paul is getting at. Remember, he says, you have been brought from death, where your actions and sins are going to take you to the pit. You've been brought from there to life. How? By the blood of Christ. And if we are thankful to God for Jesus, we will ensure that we offer ourselves to God, and we will offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. And just as this is the opposite of the first matter of the negative side, so our hands should find the work of God to be done. So we're to turn our eyes from viewing vanity to doing good, to viewing the things of God, to reading his word. We are to turn our feet from going down the paths into sin to walking in the highway to the place of worship and to following God. We are to take our hands away from that which is contrary to God and give them over to acts of service. Here is the reason we have been brought to life, and it is life for the service of God. We are not to do what is wicked. Then let's not end up doing nothing, but rather pray for help to do what is good. And Scripture is full of indications as to the care we should give to others. We can think just of the one another's, to care for one another, pray, all of those one another's that we read lead us to acts of service that we should be doing. We could use our hands, Scripture says, to give a cup of cold water to one of the least of these, an act of service, an act where we use the instruments of our bodies, or the parts of our body as an instrument of righteousness to the glory of God. And we can think through all that God has made us to be. This is a wonderful body we have, but it's to be used for him. And here's the joy. We are free now to serve him. Sin does not reign. Christ reigns. We are forgiven all our faults, and we are enabled to follow and serve our God. Mentioned the areas in which we can seek to do wickedly, but we're to do good. Do good at work. Do good when we're at leisure. Do the works that are good in the home, and family, and in the church. Do good that pleases God. Turn away from all that may displease him. And we see our lives are to be marked by godliness. As Paul says in Corinthians, we are to be his ambassadors. People should look and know. Well, here's a people who love the Lord. Their actions are righteous, are good. The world may not understand. It certainly won't understand our standing up for truth and our denial and not doing and entering into their wicked ways. But we are to be ambassadors of what God desires in men and women. And in this we are to become more and more like Christ as we give ourselves to these works, because he is our pattern, and we are to serve as he served. I wonder, how does your life measure up? Do you seek to use your body, your physical frame, your mind, your gifts to do the works of righteousness? Do you desire to find ways in which you can offer yourselves to God in service, because you're alive to him and it's a joy to remember that he died for you and you can honor and serve him? By the way, the sheet out there for the show is still rather empty. Something you could do to come along and for a while just be there, speak to people, man the stall, help an act of service, doing what is good to the glory of God, being an ambassador for him. We read the lives of others. We see their sin and we know we don't want that. We know that they're doing works of wickedness. They will read our lives. May they know that you and I, we are involved in works of righteousness, that our mission is to love others and bring Christ to them by whatever means we are enabled to do so. So here is Paul saying, look, you can't keep going on in sin. You are now dead to sin. It would be absolutely abominable if we continued in sin that grace might increase. Rather, the law will show up all your faults. And yet the joy is that every time it shows a new sin, it's covered. You don't have to do more for grace to increase. But he says, sin should not reign in your mortal bodies. Don't give yourselves to actions of wickedness. Don't give over your hands, your body, to those things. But rather, offer yourselves to God and your body as instruments of righteousness. And he ends in the last verse of this section, verse 14, with a great encouragement. And here's a great encouragement. He says, for sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. And what a joy it is to know that we are not under the mastery of law, which will always pull us down because the law only shows up our fault, but rather we are under grace. God has forgiven, Christ's blood has been shed, and we know that through him we have life. And in him we can and will live. You see, sometimes we think it's an awfully tall order to follow the way of God. The defeat of our sin, yes, we know that that may be real, but we get down because we don't feel the strength. But here's the truth. We're under grace. And if God forgives our sin through Christ, we can cry out and he will continue to sustain and help us to do what is right. We should cry out, Lord, how can I fight this sin? How can I give ourselves to acts of righteousness? And when we seek him, he invites us and guide us and under his word direct us how we can serve the Most High God. We rely upon the help of others, we'll fail. We rely upon the help of the Holy Spirit, we'll be ready to give glory to God. And we'll find help and we'll do what's pleasing and right in his sight. What an encouragement he gives to us. We're not, when we're in Christ, we're not under law. Not at all. But we're under the grace of God. The law is still there. It's still important. But the grace of God spurs us on. For in him we can do what is righteous and good. What a joy we have been able to have at remain reminded that Christ suffered for our sin. That this old self of sin that we once knew has been crucified with Him. We are dead to sin. Well then, if we're truly thankful, let us take this principle. Sin shall not reign over you. And let us flee from doing things that are wicked onto doing things that are righteous, using ourselves, our bodies, to the glory of God. And with His help and by His grace, we will succeed. Amen.